Well, praise the Lord. Amen. 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 I like these old songs. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, we do have something to be determined about. We better be, otherwise we're never going to make it. But praise the Lord, yes, He puts it deep within us. And, you know, yeah, sometimes I do think we're a little noisy. I've heard that. But praise the Lord, you know, we've got something, yes, to worship about. We've got something to praise about. And, you know, as Brother Samuel was talking Sunday about worship and all of that, and you know, you think how noisy people get at those ball games. I mean, there's no restraints. Who cares if you're jumping up and down, you know, you're waving your hands or shouting or whatever, all, and it's, you know, what is it over? That's nothing. That's nothing, you know? But my, our God has wrought a wonderful salvation for us. And if we can't be happy about that, if we can't worship the Lord about that, then come on, there's something wrong. Amen. He's given us something to rejoice, something that we didn't have before. We have hope in this world, and oh, we can see where we're going by the grace of God, knowing that He's going to direct us and lead us and get us there. Praise the Lord. Oh, we could not do it without Him. But praise God, we do have something to worship. We do have reason to praise the Lord. Yeah, so am I. He's given us something to live for. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be continuing tonight, Lord willing, in the fourth chapter of Micah. And it's quite an amazing little book. Really, you know, there's so much in it. And I just love how the Lord has all of this hidden away, kind of woven in the Scripture, you know, all of these little things that He puts in there. And wow, it's a wonderful adventure to study His Word and see what He's going to show us. And I thank God for the mighty things that He has revealed to us. My, we are seeing things, oh yes, happening in front of our face. And so many people are deceived. Oh, yeah, so many people have other ways of thinking, and it could be a tremendous distraction. Oh, yes, it could be a tremendous hindrance to the long run. And, you know, if you're believing in a secret rapture and that you're not going to have to go through tribulation, and, of course, this whole world is in tribulation. It has been. The earth is groaning because of the tribulation of this world. But praise the Lord, some of these misconceptions that people have could very well lead them astray. And we need to have the love of the truth deep down in our hearts, very deep down in our hearts, that we would not believe a lie, because there are lies all over the place. And I see the spirit of deception creeping up like never before. If there were false prophets in the land in old Israel, how much right now? How many false prophets are there right now? The ones that you probably hear, things you probably read half the time, you know, false prophets. But praise the Lord, we've got the Word of God. You know, we've got something that we can rely on, something that's solid. We've got a rock to stand on, something that is stable and it doesn't change, and it's not going to slide from out under us. But praise the Lord, that's what God has given us. Praise the Lord. Praise our Lord. Let's pray here as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for what You've done in our hearts. We thank You that You called us, Lord. Oh, God, that You gathered us. And I know that You're gathering forth Your remnants even now, Lord, Your people, Lord, that You've called by Your name. And, oh, God, those that may yet not know Thee, but, oh, God, You know how to gather them, Lord. I pray that You would put us in place, God. I pray that, oh, God, You'd lead us and show us, oh, God, and help us, oh, Lord. Oh, God, to be occupying at Thy coming, to be doing Thy will, Lord. Oh, God, to be going forth, oh, Lord. Oh, God, with, oh, God, a right spirit, a right heart, oh, Lord. Oh, God, with, oh, God, great desire, with Thy zeal, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you put it within us. I pray that you talk to us tonight. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you'd move, Lord, by the Holy Ghost, that you'd move. Oh, Lord, across the land, oh, God, across the seas. Lord, I pray, oh, God, that you'd get your people ready, Lord. For we need you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh, Lord, that you would bring forth your word, Lord, as you would ordain it. Oh, God, that you'd use this word, that you'd use me, God. Oh, God, I pray that you give me the inspiration, the words. Oh, God, the strength. Oh, God, the anointing. Oh, God, the things that I need from you. Oh, God, for I know I could not do this of myself. I ask, oh, Lord, oh, God, for your unction in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, that you have your way, Lord. To use this message, oh God, for the furtherance of thy gospel, for the sake of thy people, the remnant that you have called in our calling. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, help us, Lord, get us ready, show us the things that we need to see. Oh Lord, let your word come forth, oh Lord, with that which you have ordained. And I ask this in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We do worship you, Lord, and we do praise you, God. Oh, let thy name be exalted above the heavens. Let thy name be praised, oh God. Oh, Lord, for there is none like you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to go with the Lord's help here to Micah, the 4th chapter, and I think I read a couple verses there last week, but we're going to, there's a bit in this chapter, seems to me. Praise the Lord. So let's see what the Lord will do here tonight. Praise the Lord Jesus. Okay. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it." Now there's just some interesting things that I want to point out. For one thing, Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, also is pretty much the same. The first three verses, I believe, in that chapter are parallel with these here in Micah 4. And, you know, we know that this house of the Lord that was established, ordained by God, it was something, you know, that if we're talking about the temple, let's just say it was in David's heart to build a temple for the Lord. And he realized that God had blessed him and God had given him his home and, you know, his kingdom as it was there in old Israel. But, you know, he felt like it was needed to build a house for the Lord. And, you know, he thought to do it, but the prophet of the Lord, Nathan, I believe, did come to him and explain that because of the war that he had been engaged in, the blood that he had shed, and everything else, that God was not going to permit it in his time. But in the time of his son, who would reign after him, it would be built. And praise the Lord, this was accomplished. It was built on Mount Moriah. And very interesting place. But you know, in the appointed time, it was built. And we can just briefly go to 2 Chronicles, the 3rd chapter, and read just two verses here. It says in 2 Chronicles, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build in the 2nd day of the 2nd month in the 4th year of his reign." And of course, David had gathered some things that, you know, were deemed necessary for the building of this house. And that shows the faith that David had in his heart, even though, you know, God had stopped him from going forward on this mission. You know, he had faith that it would yet happen. And, you know, he gathered many things, you know, to get it ready, to have some preparation made. And of course, Solomon went forward with it and you know, all the other things, and that would be a long study in itself to go through all of that. But, you know, all those steps had been made. But, you know, it was to be built in this place that the Lord had appeared unto David, his father, in Mount Moriah. And that's an interesting little story, too. And I'm just going to sidestep there just for a minute, I think, just a couple minutes or so. But that story is told us in 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but this was an interesting event here, too, because this is toward the end of David's life. And it was put into his heart to number the people. And, you know, Joab, the captain of the host, was, you know, not eager to do this. It didn't click with him. It didn't seem like it was right at all. And it's interesting because it really wasn't the will of God, but yet God put it, you know, God was going to use this because he was upset with Israel. And so he moved David, it tells us in that first verse, to go number Israel and Judah. So very interesting. And yet it was contrary. So, okay, I'm not going to explain this all. I don't think I can. But anyway, you know, David went forth with it. And as I said, Joab was not eager to do this, the captain of his host and of his army, in other words. And, you know, anyway, Joab went forth and did it. And when it was accomplished, it tells us that David's heart smote within him because he realized that this really wasn't right, this which he had done. He realized he had sinned in so doing it. And he sought the Lord for forgiveness, to be forgiven from this foolishness that he had done. And God sent his prophet, the prophet was Gad, and he's called David's seer, or the prophet that was particular to David at this point, the prophet of the Lord. And, you know, God used Gad to tell David, you know, or to ask David what he would choose. He made three possibilities to appease, you know, to make appeasement for this which he had done. And you know, it was either 7 years of famine, or God said you can flee for 3 months before thine enemies, or I'll give you 3 days of pestilence in the land. And David chose, even though he felt like he was in a great strait, that he would not fall into the hands of man, but he would put himself in the mercies of God, knowing that God's mercies are great. So God sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And it obviously was pretty severe, even though, you know, it must have been just 3 days. Yet, you know, there were 70,000 people that died from the northern part of the kingdom, Dan, to the southern part, Beersheba. And at this point, it seems that David got a glimpse of the angel of the Lord that was stretching his hand over Jerusalem. And at this point, David besought the Lord, and God gave him instructions. God told him to go to the threshing place of Araunah, the Jebusite. And praise the Lord, that's what David did. He went to this threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite, according to the saying that had been given him by the Lord and through the prophet. And, you know, this Araunah saw David coming. And he actually went out and bowed himself before David just showing him honor and, you know, submitting himself in that sense, showing respect, and, you know, asked why he had come. And David said, well, I've come to buy the threshing floor of the, to build an altar unto the Lord that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arana had a very big heart. And, you know, he must have been friends with David anyway. And you know, he just offered, he said, well, let my Lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, threshing instruments and other instruments of oxen for wood. And so Arana was going to give him everything he needed. Amazing. It just was, he's just a very generous spirit. And, you know, Arana also said to David, the Lord thy God accept thee. But, you know, David realized if it's going to be a sacrifice, it's going to be something that I give to the Lord that just got to cost me something. And that's a sermon in itself and a very, you know, a very good point. You know, we can't give to the Lord that which costs us nothing. So the king, King David, that is, said unto Arana here in 2 Samuel 24, verse 24, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. So anyway, this interesting place is where the temple was going to be built by Solomon. There, this threshing floor of Arana, there on the mount. Praise the Lord. And it is another interesting place, the land of Moriah, and up into the mount is where Abraham also took Isaac there as led by the Lord to offer a burnt sacrifice, and we know that story. But you know, Abraham didn't know what God was really asking. And you know, when Isaac had asked, you know, he saw the wood, he saw the fire, he saw the knife, and he said, but Father, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, my son, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. Oh, yes, uttering those words that, yes, actually were prophetic, uttering that Jesus Christ would himself come, that God would come in the form of a man, the Son of God, as Jesus Christ, to offer himself a sacrifice. And of course, you know, God made a way that he did not have to kill his son, Isaac, but, you know, there was, oh, yes, there was a ram that was caught in the thicket, and that was what God was going to use for that sacrifice. But it was a test, wasn't it? But so anyway, that's where the mount was built. And we know that this temple, yes, you know, it went on for these several years, but old Israel didn't do too well after a while. And, you know, it came to pass that God allowed the Babylonians to come in. 586 B.C., I believe, to burn it down, to burn that temple down. So it was completely destroyed at that point. But God prophesied through Jeremiah, the prophet, that, you know, in 70 years they would return. And God, through his mercy and greatness, and you know what God declares is going to happen, he made a way so that temple could be rebuilt. And so it was. Down the road there, you know, about 516, you know, with the help of Darius, the first, you know, the Medes and the Persians assisted in the building, the rebuilding of that temple. So, okay, there, it was rebuilt. But we know that that temple was taken down in 70 AD when the Romans besieged Jerusalem. And it was taken down and it was destroyed. It was taken apart bit by bit. No longer needed. Because now, under Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that new covenant that was offered in his blood, God's temple would now be his people. God would dwell in his people. God would send forth his Spirit as he did on the day of Pentecost so that he could come and dwell in his people. Praise the Lord. And that's what happened. Praise the Lord. And that was the second regathering there on the day of Pentecost. That's what God did. And that's how he used it. You know, that temple that was built. So here, Micah is talking about this temple that was built on the mountain of God here, Mount Moriah, the mountain of the house of the Lord, which would be established on the top of the mountains. And it was, after the Babylonians had burned it down and taken it over and taken whatever all they wanted from it, but it was destroyed. It was completely destroyed and then rebuilt. Well, it was built because, yeah, Jesus Christ was going to yet come forth. He's going to use that temple at that time. And then, yes, he's going to pour out of his Spirit there at Jerusalem. And here, the second verse in Micah 4 says, "And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So now there was going to be a gathering of the remnant. Oh, yes, and oh, there's so many verses that go in line with this. And, you know, we read that in Micah, the second chapter, verse 12. "I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee." Completeness here. "I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as a flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men." And oh, praise the Lord. That happened on Pentecost. And actually, that gathering of his remnant is still going on. And it will be complete one of these days. But when it's complete, the Lord is going to put in his sickle and reap this earth when it is finished. When, oh yes, he has gathered to the fullness the remnant of his people. But praise the Lord, he gathers us. And, you know, I love how it says, you know, one by one, you know. He calls us each individually to come serve the Lord, to walk in his ways. Oh yes, oh, to be taught of the Lord, to walk in his paths, and that law that went forth, that law that he puts in our inward man, yes, when he fills us with the Holy Ghost, so we can walk in his ways and know the voice of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what God has done. Oh, yes, to restore and to bring us back. You know, oh, there's so many places I could go, and I'll just try to do as the Lord leads here. But Isaiah, the 11th chapter, talks about this second regathering of his people pertaining to Pentecost. And it says in Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verse 10, it says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." And praise the Lord, it wasn't exclusively for one people. Yes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks. And you know, the Gentiles would seek it. Praise the Lord. And he says here prophetically that his rest shall be glorious. Oh, we know, if we go to Isaiah 28, that rest that comes forth is the rest that Jesus spoke of there when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The 28th chapter of Isaiah identifies that rest. Oh, yes. That rest that comes forth. Oh, yes, that refreshing that comes forth with stammering lips and another tongue as God speaks unto his people. And it says there in Isaiah 28, verse 11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." Verse 12, "To whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear." Oh, praise the Lord. There's all the simplicity of God's word, but you see how it all comes together, the plan of God. But, you know, here in Isaiah 11, it's talking about that day, and that day pertains to the second covenant when Jesus Christ has come to this world to bring forth the good news, to bring forth the gospel, to introduce the kingdom of God to the people. And yes, then to go to ascend back into heaven. But that promise of a Father that he would send back forth his Spirit, that was a promise of the Father that he would send forth the Spirit of his Father. And praise the Lord, that is what happened at Pentecost. So it tells us here, Isaiah 11, 11, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. He did it the first time to regather them when he called them out of Babylon." After 70 years, and we may go to some of those scriptures there, Jeremiah 25, Jeremiah 29, which talk about that first regathering. But this is the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Oh, that's what our God was doing, to regather the people. He's going to gather, even the outcasts. Oh, boy, I don't know. There's lots of verses, folks. I hope you just don't mind. But this is God's word. And you know, that was the second time he called these people together there at that feast time, that feast day of Pentecost there, that second chapter of Acts. Yes, he was calling those people. One by one, they had all gathered there. And they were recipients of the outpouring of the gift of the Holy Ghost. But they were from all different places in the earth, as it tells us in that second chapter of Acts. From Syria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, and from Hamath, all the islands of the sea. There was a gathering of the people, and the Lord was using that gathering to pour out of his Spirit at that time, to assemble, as it tells us here, the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Praise the Lord. The Lord bringing forth his people. Hosea, the sixth chapter, verse 1 also talks about it. Verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, Hosea, the sixth chapter, verse 1, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." Oh boy, there's a lot of places I could go. It says in verse 3 though, "Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as a latter and former rain unto the earth. Praise the Lord, that's what happened at Pentecost. That was the outpouring of His Spirit. And that would have been, you know, the first outpouring of it. And yes, at this latter end of the age, I believe we're going to see, and are part of, I believe, the latter part of the latter rain. Praise the Lord, that pouring out of His Spirit. But you see how it was prophesied, you know, that point that they were going to be revived. God sent them away. It seemed that they were abandoned. And we may get into some of that scripture as the Lord leads. But, you know, God brought them back for the first regathering so that they returned those that it was in their hearts. Some of them, I believe, never did come back. But those that returned came back, and that temple was rebuilt. And then it came on to, you know, that time period when Jesus Christ would come forth as the Messiah, that Lamb of God, the Christ, Son of the living God. He would come forth and prepare the hearts. Well, John the Baptist prepared the hearts, and Jesus would continue that ministry to prepare the hearts of the people so that they could receive of His Spirit and be gathered together again, and that outpouring of the Holy Ghost when He came to them as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. Well, praise the Lord. The marvelous plan of God to bring forth of His Spirit to gather His people together. Yes, to call. And you know, it's not over yet. Oh, we know the Lord hath long patience, it tells us in the book of James, until He receives the early and the latter rain. And praise the Lord, I believe when it is complete, when His people are all brought together, when He has brought forth His elect, those that He has called, the remnant of His people together, He is going to then reap the earth, and it is going to be over. Oh yes, as He comes to gather His people, as He comes to judge this earth. Oh yes, both will happen at that point. Praise the Lord as He returns. Oh yes, to bring forth judgment. Praise the Lord. Let me just read that verse there from James 5, 7 and 8, verses 7 and 8. James 5, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." Then the 8th verse says, "Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Oh, we don't know the day or the hour, but that early church was waiting. They knew that the coming of the Lord was imminent, that He was going to come and not tarry at that moment that He had foreordained. And yet, we are waiting, aren't we? And yet, He is pouring out of His Spirit. Oh, for whosoever will, let them come and drink of the living water. Oh, let them come and drink of the waters of life freely. Oh, yes, He's still calling. I praise God for that. That door is still opened. But continuing here in Micah, the 4th chapter, verse 3. And it says, "And He shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nations, neither shall they learn war anymore." And I'll tell you what, this scripture is, you know, it's misused. And all people want to sometimes make it some kind of millennial type of scripture, but I believe He's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Oh, yes. Let me just go to some verses here. Oh my. kingdom of God that suffered violence. But it was because Jesus Christ was gathering his people together, and he was going to use this, oh yes, to bring forth his people. They would all be gathered together. I'm going here to 2 Corinthians. The 10th chapter, verses 3 and 4, probably 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Oh yes, he's talking about that new kingdom. Oh yes, that his people would be a part of. Oh yes, the family of God, the temple of the living God. Yes, we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh, because, oh yes, though we are fighting spiritual battles, it's not on the carnal side. It's not after the flesh. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Oh God, making a way. Oh yes, through power. Through power with God. Through prayer and supplication, we could bring down strongholds. Jesus said in Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 18, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Oh, praise the Lord, that's the kind of warfare God's people were going to do under his new covenant. Oh yes, it was not going to be a physical kingdom, but it was a kingdom, oh yes, of changed lives. A people that had been converted by the power of the living God. A people who had been given power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. In other words, we can put down those things that try to rise up as stumbling blocks, as hindrances. Oh yes, as obstacles. We can bring them down, those strongholds that try to rise up in our lives. We can bring them down by the power of God, by the authority of the Scripture, by that name of Jesus Christ that we sang about tonight. Oh, praise the Lord, that power, that authority that we've been given to tread on serpents and on scorpions, those old devils that try to hinder us, that try to destroy us. Oh, they don't like us one bit. And we've got to realize that. We've got to realize that we've got an adversary. But praise the Lord, we've got power and authority through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that authority that he gives us through his saving name to tread upon them and over all the power of the enemy, knowing that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Oh, praise the Lord, that authority that is given us. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is so good. And you know, here in Micah 4, yes, he's saying, and it's also in Isaiah the 2nd chapter, you know, that third verse, "And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nations, neither shall they learn war anymore." That, you know, God's people are no longer fighting those kind of wars. Because, yes, we have a kingdom that is within. Oh, yes, Jesus told Pilate, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then should my men fight for me? Then should my servants fight? But no, Jesus came to bring forth a spiritual kingdom. And I'm going to go just to Isaiah 26 for a moment, too. Just a few verses here, too. And this is, I don't know when we've heard this before, but praise the Lord. It says in Isaiah 26, verse 1, talking also about the new covenant, it says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. You see, the gates were opened on Pentecost. So, oh yes, those that would hear the word of the Lord and tremble at it could enter in. Oh yes, salvation hath God appointed instead of walls and bulwarks. All the things, you know, if you've got a city, you want to keep the enemies out, you're going to build walls around it. At least that was the pattern in old Israel. You're going to have, you know, ways of protecting yourself. And bulwarks, embankments of sorts to keep the enemy out. But here, under the new covenant, oh, there was a new song that could be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. The walls and the bulwarks weren't going to be what mattered anymore to keep them in safety. No, it was going to be the power and the authority of God, of a people that would walk by faith and not by sight, a people that would keep the laws of God in their hearts, a people that would be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That's what it's talking about here in Isaiah 26. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. See, that's the peace that the Lord gives us. That peace, his peace, he said, I give unto you. Not the peace that the world gives, give I unto you. Oh, let your heart, let it not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said in the 14th chapter of John, he was going to give us a peace that passes understanding, a peace that the world doesn't know, unless they've given their lives to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Then that fourth verse, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, the strength that he gives us, strength sufficient to meet every trial, every need, to walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, yes, to claim the promises of God. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what he's given us. It tells us back here in Micah, the fourth chapter, verse 4. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. And yes, I just basically quoted from John the 14th chapter, verse 27, that peace that Jesus said that he would give unto us. Oh, praise the Lord. But when it talks about every man under his vine and under his fig tree, it's talking about a time of peace. And that terminology is used in the scripture in various places. Praise the Lord. And, I just want to go to one place quickly here in 1 Kings. It uses that terminology. 1 Kings, the 4th chapter, verse 25, it says, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Yes, when that temple was built, the time of Solomon was a time of peace. And when that kingdom was fully established, and so they're using this terminology here, Judah and Israel, it was a complete kingdom at the time. It wasn't divided under Solomon. It says every man dwelling safely under his vine and under his fig tree. And it says from Dan even to Beersheba. When it says from Dan to Beersheba, it's describing the extremity of the kingdom. Dan was the northernmost point, and Beersheba was the southernmost. So the entirety of the kingdom would be established in peace. And so it was in the time of Solomon. Praise the Lord. And here that terminology is used in the fourth verse of Micah. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. And I believe that is talking about the peace of God that Jesus Christ gives us when he fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just quickly turning to Philippians, the fourth chapter, where it says in verse 4, Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And then that seventh verse, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I love that. Praise the Lord, the peace of God. Oh, that's what God has desired for his new covenant people. You know, to rejoice in the Lord. Let our moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And, you know, be careful for nothing. It means don't be anxious. Don't be worried. You know, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh, that thankful heart that, you know, gives praise to the Lord. Let your requests be known unto God. And then it says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. There's one who can keep us even in this evil hour that we live in right now, these evil times. Oh, yes, when they're trying all these devices, oh, there's so many maddening things. Oh, if you dwelt on that all day, you could go insane. In fact, oh my, I know there's so many minds that are gone wild. The phone rang the other day. There's a poor man on that line. I can't divulge who, or I don't even know who he was. He wouldn't give me his name, but oh man, he was insane, I would say, from what I could judge. But praise the Lord has a peace for his people. His peace that he gives for his people, a peace that passes all understanding, and that ability of God to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, in spite of these days, in spite of these times. Thank the Lord. It goes on here in Micah 4, verse 5, for all people will walk, everyone in the name of his God. And we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. There's a contrast here from those that are heathen, those that don't believe, those that have not experienced the living waters. They're going to walk after the name of their own God in their own ways, to their own idolatry, after their own thoughts, you know, to the things that seem natural and normal to them. But praise the Lord, oh, God changes his people. He puts his spirit within us so that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. Yes, we, as the people of God, will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. You know, this little temporal life here on earth, oh, yes, it ends, you know. There's a limit to how long we're going to be here in this world. But praise the Lord, we're going to reign and rule with him forever and ever. Oh yes, if we are among those that are called faithful. Oh yes, praise the Lord, those that walk with him. Oh, yes, praise the Lord, those that are called and chosen and faithful. Then it goes on to say in verse 6 and 7, in that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. God's ways are amazing. How he takes us, you know. And it uses the word, you know, it's talking about people that are halting and driven out and afflicted and I would say outcast. And God is talking about his plan to bring forth a people, even those that were cast far off, you know, to bring them together as his remnant, as his seed, as his peculiar treasure, you know? Oh, yes. You know, Peter, when he was, you know, he was talking to the Gentile people and saying, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, that had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, that's God who called forth his people, that, oh yes, called forth his remnant to bring them out of the miry clay, oh, out of all the trouble that we all were in, you know, that past life, oh, yes, when we walked according to our own things, our own dictates, our own thoughts, all of that. You know, I like how in the 14th chapter of Luke, and Jesus is telling that parable, you know, of a certain man that made a great supper, and he, you know, he bade many, it tells us. But sad to say, when it was time for them to come to the supper, those that were bidden didn't want to come. And they had all kinds of excuses. You know, one said, I bought a piece of ground. I've got to go. I've got to go see it. Please have me excused. And another said, well, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I've got to go prove them. Please have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. I suppose, please have me excused. I'll tell you what, that didn't go over too well. Those excuses didn't go over very well at all. He says, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, this is verse 21 here in Luke 14, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Oh, praise the Lord, the will of God. You know, when you know his remnant is complete, when you know the family of God has come to the full, you know, he's going to put in the sickle, he's going to reap this earth. And many that were called were not, you know, they were not willing to come in. You know, they refused. So God made a way, you know. Excuses, let them be. You know, he wasn't gonna beg them anymore. But his servants were told to go out quickly. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring it hither. The poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, the outcasts. You know, those that you wouldn't usually call for the supper, You know, a wedding feast. Oh, but that's who the Lord was going to gather. Those were the people that were willing to come in. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Oh, it had to be filled, didn't it? My house had to be full. It had to be filled, you know. So they were told, go out into the highways and hedges now and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Oh, that's our God going out to gather the outcasts of Israel, the outcasts of the world, you know, of his people. And oh my, there's many places. Isaiah 56 talks about it. And this too is a scripture that is very often misunderstood and misappropriated as far as what it is meaning here. Oh, but Isaiah 56. Talks about a gathering of people. I don't know how much time I have. It says in chapter 56 of Isaiah, verse 1, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice. For my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. See, he's talking about, you know, that new covenant that was forthcoming at this point. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenants. See, the people that go forth to do the will of God, who are obedient unto the scripture, says, even unto them, verse 5, will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Oh, praise the Lord. That's his remnant that he's calling forth, his people. And it's made, oh yes, people from every tribe and nation and kindred and tongue. Oh yes, there's going to be a representation of people from everywhere that gather together there that the Lord has gathered together as his remnant. It says in verse 6 here in Isaiah 56, also the sons of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the Lord, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. And oh yes, we know that the Sabbath, every day becomes a Sabbath to us under the new covenant. And taking hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Oh yes, the people of God, the temple of the living God, those that he would call forth. Oh yes, to make them joyful. And yes, initially he did that on the day of Pentecost, bringing those together that were part of his remnant together, oh yes, to be recipients of salvation, to be recipients of the gift of the Holy Ghost, the outpouring of the gift of the Holy Ghost there, oh yes, that place being called a house of prayer, oh yes. Oh yes, now God has a temple for his people. But oh yes, his people, yes, they love to pray. It's deep within them. Yes, we are all part of that house of prayer for all people, the dispersed people that God has called together. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, Yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. Oh, yes, he was going to gather them. Oh, yes, from all different parts of the world. It tells us in Revelation, the 14th chapter, oh, yes, those that follow the Lamb, those that are part of the Church of the Living God, as they sing that new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders here in Revelation 14. Oh, a song that no man could sing but those that were redeemed, the redeemed of the Lord. It says in verse 4 of Revelation 14, these are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. He's talking about the redeemed, those that don't follow after the ways of the world, those that are not, you know, into, you know, all the traditions of men, you know, into idolatry and all the defilement of sin, all of that. No, pure and holy before the living God, not defiled, therefore virgins. And follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes. It says in verse 5 here in Revelation 14, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Oh, we've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. He's taken that filthy mouth that we once had, and oh, taken that mind who conceived all those filthy thoughts. He made us new creatures in Christ. He's transformed us by the renewing of our minds. Oh, yes, that we might be acceptable vessels in the sight of God. Oh, so that we might be able to stand before the Lord Jesus at his coming without fault before that throne of God. In our mouth found no guile. Cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, redeemed by his blood, set forth as his people. Oh, praise the Lord, washed those sins in the waters of baptism. Praise the Lord, forgiven our transgressions, our sins, all of that. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Oh, that call that comes forth, oh yes. That call to fear God, to give him glory, to bow the knee, to submit the heart to the living God. Oh, that call that comes forth. You know, that great throne that he's calling forth as his remnant. That people, oh yes, that are going to stand before him redeemed. You know, John also saw them in the 7th chapter of Revelation. Just verse 9 here. It says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Verse 10 too, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. But here in Micah 4, the Lord calling forth his remnant in verse 6 and 7, those that were cast far off, you know, all those that were outcast, bringing them forth, oh yes, to be participants in his kingdom as that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, that peculiar people that would be called forth to bring praise unto our God. Praise the Lord, He's brought them forth. And there the Lord, oh yes, when He, oh yes, it's all final, it's all over. His people that stand before Him, oh, that place, oh, that new heaven and that new earth that comes down from God out of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord, when this is all over, that Mount Zion that is above, that comes down. Oh, sing that song too, from the Psalms, you know, from Mount Zion, the Lord shall reign from henceforth even forever. And I'll tell you what, it tells us in Hebrews, that 13th chapter, verse 14, here we have no continuing city. It's not something that's on earth at this moment at all. No, that isn't the Mount Zion that is talking of at this point. But Paul wrote in his letter to the Hebrew people there, so he was talking about that Mount Sinai and contrasting it. He told them there in his letter, 12th chapter of Hebrews, verse 22, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the bloodless sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Oh, praise the Lord, that heavenly Jerusalem. Oh, yes, that's where we're going to gather. That's where His people are going to be gathered together. Oh, yes, you know. Paul also wrote of it there, you know, the book of Galatians. That fourth chapter. And oh, yes, there was a little trouble there with those church, with that church at Galatia, because some of them desired to be under the law. But he expounded unto them there in the fourth chapter, Galatians, verse 22, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, or Hagar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children." But very simply here, verse 26, "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And oh my, that's a wonderful chapter. Oh yes, "For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she with hath a husband." Oh, yes, and he goes on to explain that we, as the Church of the Living God, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. And, oh, yes, that Jerusalem that we think about, oh, yes, that's the place where it's free. That's, you know, the Jerusalem which is above, which is the mother of us all. That's the place, oh, yes, where the Lamb of God is at this point, oh, yes. That Mount Zion, oh yes, that place is coming down from God out of heaven. That new Jerusalem, that new earth that God will bring forth for His people. Oh, praise the Lord. But oh, God had a way to call forth His remnants, to bring them forth. In verse 8 here, Micah 4, it says, "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Oh, and there are places I could go. I think I have not time at the moment. But Jesus came forth to bring forth that kingdom which was from above. Oh, yes, as he came forth to bring the good tidings of good news to all people. Oh, he was ushering in his kingdom. Oh, yes, he was talking about his new covenant that he was going to bring forth. Oh, yes, that would not necessarily free people from natural bondage, Roman bondage in that case, but it would free people from the bondage, the dominion of sin. Praise the Lord. The reason that our Savior came forth, bringing forth a new covenant, that he would bring forth in his blood to establish a people that he would call forth. A kingdom that is not made with hands. An eternal kingdom. An everlasting kingdom. A kingdom where we would be born again into that kingdom. As he told Nicodemus, who came to him by night, that need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit to enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord. That's why Jesus came forth. Praise the Lord. And that is what, oh, yes, was happening on the day of Pentecost. Jesus was preparing them. Oh, yes, as he taught the people, as he brought forth the Word of God. And yes, he told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry, oh yes, to wait until they would have been filled with that Spirit from on high, till the Holy Ghost would come upon them. And praise the Lord, that's what happened there. And that's, oh yes, as they came there on that day of Pentecost, not realizing fully what was going to happen, God poured out of his Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And many nations came up to it, that having been put into their heart to go up into the mountain of the Lord, that place where, yes, they could gather to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, where he would teach us of his ways, where we could walk in his path for that law that went forth out of Zion at that point, and the word of the Lord that came, oh yes, there on that day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. That's the Lord gathering forth his people, his remnant, bringing them forth as the sheep of Basra. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, our kingdom, oh yes, that shall never end, an everlasting kingdom. Praise the Lord. Oh, filling his people with a peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, praise the Lord. Aren't you grateful for what the Lord has done in our hearts? Oh, aren't you grateful for the gift of the Holy Ghost that he poured out that we might be recipients? Oh, yes, of the plan of God, a part of his kingdom, a remnant of the people of God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. And oh, yes, we can declare it. We have something to shout about. We have something to sing. We have something to utter. Oh, yes, the glad tidings of great joy. Yes, oh, yes, that we have been partakers of. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, oh, Lord. That's your word. Oh, God, go forth. Oh, God, to do what you have, oh, God, ordained it to do. Oh, Lord, God, in Jesus' name, let it do your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, now we're going to that city where the Lamb is the light. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise our God.